Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Well, we are just 34 days now into 2019. And so if we took a look back over last year, we might say that some of the major themes that were a part of last year, the conversation that we had, the issues that we were sort of looking at in no particular order would have been things on immigration in this country, the Me Too movement, possible Russian interference in the 2016 election. And of course, I'm sure you all have heard about fake news. Fake news. That concept has been really around for quite a while and goes by a whole host of different kinds of names. We might call it propaganda or misinformation or even lies. In fact, back at the very start of our nation, supporters of Thomas Jefferson let it be known that his opponent at that time, John Quincy Adams, wanted to actually be king of the United States and was therefore going to try to marry off one of his sons to a daughter of King George III of England, a move which supposedly was blocked at some point by George Washington himself, who intervened in just the nick of time in order to stop it. Or at least that's how one version of that story goes. Of course, the opponents of Thomas Jefferson had their own laundry list of false facts, with newspapers reporting that if Jefferson were to become president, well then, murder, robbery, rape, adultery, and incest would be openly taught and practiced, and that the country would be soaked with blood and the nation black with crimes. Now keep in mind that back at that time, political parties were primarily the ones who owned the newspapers, and there was no such thing at that time as an independent media, although some might still hold that that same argument is true today. Still, fake news seems to be on everyone's mind these days in a way that it hasn't been in the past. The idea of fake news refers to published or reported information intentionally designed to be misleading. And yet, more recently, I think some people have even broadened that concept of fake news even more to now also include any reports or any political views that they don't necessarily agree with, regardless of the accuracy of the information. Then, not only the news, but it is the source of the news that is attacked. It's just another newer version of the old adage, kill the messenger. If you don't like the political viewpoint of someone else that's being expressed, well, no problem. Dismiss it by just simply calling it fake news. End of discussion. Now, this is all rather interesting, I think, because this also seems to be exactly what was going on and happening here in our gospel reading for today. In the Nazareth synagogue, where Jesus is asked to read the biblical text for the day, he reads from the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, the first two verses, which is the source. And the news is this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressor go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Good news or fake news? Well, if you compare Jesus' rendition of these two verses from Isaiah 61 to the verses as they actually appear in the prophet Isaiah, you will see that Jesus stops just short of reading the full passage, which contains also the line, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And then after reading this text, Jesus tells the congregation, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And in saying this, he seems to be declaring that the parts of these two verses that he did read comprise a kind of a mission statement here now about his work. The fact that he left out the other part suggests that he didn't see his work as proclaiming the Lord's vengeance. Now, initially, we are told here that the congregation's response was quite positive to all of this. They hear it as a claim that Jesus is the promised Messiah, and they gossip with each other, saying, is this not Joseph's son? Sort of kind of like that neighborhood kid who goes on to graduate from Harvard Medical School. You mean that's Frank and Helen's kid, the long-haired teen with the nose ring who used to play Dungeons and Dragons in the basement and wore earbuds all the time? You mean that kid from the house down on the corner? Harvard Medical School? Seriously? Unfortunately, they first hear it as good news because they see it primarily directed at themselves. Good news for those from Jesus' own hometown. If Jesus pronounces this Isaiah passage as now being truly fulfilled, well, then they must be the first and special beneficiaries of it, right? However, Jesus seems to feel it necessary here this morning to now dispel this notion right up front. And so he crushes their exuberance here by declaring that no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And then he goes on further to make his point by alluding to two different biblical stories about which they were all there quite familiar with. The first reference is to a famine, at which time God sent the prophet Elijah to a starving Gentile widow instead of to a starving Hebrew widow. And then the second story involves the prophet Elisha and his healing ministry with a Gentile military officer named Nahum, who had leprosy. Apparently, Elisha was not sent to heal any of Israel's lepers. So the people in the synagogue quickly get the message that even though he is their hometown boy, his fellow neighbors have no special first claim on his powers. And that they don't like one bit. In fact, we can almost hear one of them shrieking out, fake news! And then they react with anger. Not hearing from Jesus what they want to hear, they reveal their true colors now. And soon a mob mentality takes over. They try to throw this purveyor of fake news off of a cliff. And yet somehow Jesus escapes and goes on his way. But we cannot assume that he is unaffected here by their rage. We can also imagine that at least some members of his hometown now begin to spread the word that Jesus is a fake. He's certainly not one of us. Now, what seems to make Jesus' proclamation so unacceptable to them is that it doesn't conform to the commonly held understanding that the Messiah would come to destroy all of Israel's enemies. Jesus, talking about God's mercy to a Gentile widow and to a Syrian soldier, does not seem to fit that image. And therefore, in their minds, Jesus isn't really the Messiah after all. And what he says is fake news at best and dangerous news at worst. So why then would they think that? All Jesus said in his adaptation here of Isaiah 61 was that his work, that his mission was to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and by omission, not proclaim the day of vengeance of God. And the only thing that he said to his hometown crowd was that he was not going to show here any favoritism towards Israel in the delivery of these ministries that were just cited above. Now, as I already mentioned, some of this went against the popular expectation of what the Messiah was supposed to do. But when Jesus cited these two biblical stories about Elijah and Elisha, he was only telling them stuff that they already knew. Nevertheless, they still got angry, really angry. Now, over the century, the Bible has oftentimes been used to handle stories and sacred texts as a way of justifying all sorts of things out there. Things like totalitarianism or slavery or abuse of women or poverty or blaming all of the Jews for the death of Jesus. And it would seem that folks here in Nazareth in that synagogue on that day weren't too interested in handling their sacred text with much care either. They wanted those texts to say what they already believed, rather than to believe what those texts said. And they used these texts then to justify an attempted murder. The lesson for us, I think, here this morning is that we need to approach Scripture with both faith and also with intelligence. If Jesus left out the vengeful stuff, well then, maybe we should too. Retribution and vengeance, it's not a part of the church's mission, and it certainly is not a part of Christ's mission either. Therefore, we should read the Bible with a peaceful intent, putting those texts that can be used to support violence into a context consistent with the overall message that we have in Scripture, and one that doesn't bring shame to the name of Jesus, who is, after all, the Prince of Peace. Amen.